everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. He's an American hero, a United States Marine Corps veteran, and Purple Heart recipient for injuries sustained while clearing a minefield in the Quang Nam province of Vietnam that would take both his legs, but not his life. In his heart-wrenching yet hopeful and yes, miraculous memoir, Born on the 5th of July, in collaboration with Bob Hamer, former FBI agent, award-winning author and Marine Corps veteran, and forward by Lieutenant Retired Colonel Oliver North, host of War Stories on Fox News, I read in part, quote, "If you know or admire a first responder, a leader, a parent, or an American who loves this country, Born on the 5th of July was written for you." Quote, "I would follow him into hell itself." End quote. Him, ladies and gentlemen, is my next guest. With great honor, I bring to testimony what others say, a Marine's Marine, husband, father, grandfather, patriot, and more, founder of Tim Lee Ministries, speaker, and author. Please welcome evangelist Tim Lee. Tim Lee, sir, welcome to Testimony.
Wow. Thank you, Jensine. I'm honored to be here, and thanks for that awesome introduction. And this is exciting time for me, and an honor to be with you today.
Well, it's an honor to have you here, sir. First of all, I have to share with our listeners, I read every page of your powerful memoir, Born on the 5th of July, and absolutely loved it. So without further ado, for part one of our two-part conversation today, take our listeners to your early beginnings, your faith, entrance into the Marines, and what happened after that. Tim Lee, tell us your story.
Well, I was raised in a pastor's home. My dad was a Southern Baptist pastor for almost 60 years. He lacked a few months being six full decades of pastoring and preaching God's word. And my mom just recently turned 94, and not as strong as she was a couple of years ago. She was still mowing her yard with a push mower at age 91. And she slowed down some, but her mind's still alert. But I was raised in a great home. There was five of us kids, and of course, mom and dad. And we were poor, but by all standards of that day, but we kids didn't know we were poor. We were fed well, and our clothes were worn and patched, but we had clothes, we had shoes, and a roof over our head. And my dad was one of the hardest working men I've ever known in my life for many, many years, three jobs a day to take care of seven people and put food on the table. He would drive a bus early in the morning, go roof houses in the daytime, go back and drive the bus in the evening, then do church work in the evening time, study for his sermons and for his lessons. And so, he's a hard-working man. My mom, a hard-working woman. That was Southern Illinois, coal mine country, cornfields and bean fields, and a rural setting. And, of course, we went to church all the time. I tell young people I was on drugs when I was 9 years old. They drug us to church Sunday morning, drug us back Sunday night. And that's what you do when you're raised in a pastor's home. You go to church a lot. And grew up in a lot of sports and activities and school. And whenever I was 10 years of age, the most important thing that would ever happen in my life was I invited Jesus Christ into my life. On a Sunday morning, my dad was speaking, and God really dealt with my heart. I call it old-time conviction. Came to my life. I realized I was a sinner, and I could not save myself, so I turned to the one who died for me, and the one who arose from the grave for me, Jesus Christ. And I was excited. I knew that something great had happened in my life, and I told people about it, family and friends. But then, whenever I became a teenager, something else happened, and this didn't happen overnight. It was gradual. I began to put things before God. You go to Southern Illinois, McLeansboro, especially that area, the last name Lee is associated with preaching and then also sports. A lot of my relatives were involved in sports, so I got involved in sports, and certainly nothing wrong with sports, except that I began to let it control my life. My dad would tell me, Tim, there's nothing wrong with you playing ball unless you put it before God. And his whole premise was that anything that we put before God is wrong. Well, I didn't want to listen to that. Little by little, putting these things before God in my life, I began to have problems. At school, I became rebellious toward authority, became rebellious toward God. There were five of us kids, and out of the five, I was the only one that rebelled. And mom and dad were disciplinarians. They, you know, they were strict. I knew they loved me. There wasn't any doubt about that. They weren't doing it to be mean to me. They were doing it because they did love me. But I was the one that was causing trouble. I was setting a bad example for my brothers. I was getting in all kinds of problems and trouble at school, and rebellious. And I tell in the book a particular incident that I was working at Teeth Killers, department store. My best friend and I, Eddie Belva, we spent all day long putting these chrome dinette sets, tables and chairs together. This before electric drills, and we would use a manual Phillips screwdriver all day long and wear blisters on our hands. And I went home one day for lunch, and I was 15 years old, never forget it, and I yelled for my mom. She normally had something ready for me to eat at noon hour, and she didn't answer me. I knew she was at home. And so then my brothers and I slept was down in the basement. I went down the basement, and she was there by my bed, and she had a book. It wasn't a magazine, it was a book, but nevertheless it was still pornographic, and that I had actually stolen from a news store there in town and put it under my mattress, and she had found it. Well, we'd already had confrontation after confrontation, problems after problems. I knew it was going to be bad, especially when Dad got home. So I just turned around, walked out of the house, went back up to the store and ask Bonnie, the lady that was in charge of payroll, for what they owed me, and it was $40. Got $40, which of course make a dollar an hour back in those days. And I went through the other side of the store, actually stole a pair of tennis shoes and of my size, and then I went out on the highway and began to hitchhike. And I hitchhiked, ended up five rides later in East St. Louis. I think about going to St. Louis, and I've been to St. Louis before, to St. Louis Cardinal baseball games with my family, and to me that was like you know, the bright lights, the big city, and I guess it's kind of what the prodigal son saw when he left home. And but I didn't make it to St. Louis that first night as East St. Louis, and ended up staying in a real old rundown hotel. I didn't know anything about East St. Louis. I was very naive, but East St. Louis was probably about 95-97% black. I was a white boy, but I was raised in McLeansboro, all white town, all white county, all white high school. I didn't know anything about black people at all, and if I would have ever said anything racist, my mom would have washed my mouth out with soap. So I didn't have anything against black people, didn't know them, but evidently, I was in one of the high crime areas in America, in East St. Louis, and stayed there for a couple of days. And the second day, I knew it was going to be needing more money. I was desperate. I'm telling the story that there's so much more in the background about things that got me to this point in my life, that stealing and lying and being deceitful and dishonest. There were times when it would have been so much easier to tell the truth, but I was so used to lying to my parents. And I noticed in a room there in the hotel, there was some money laying on a dresser. I decided to slip in real quick, steal the money off the dresser, put it in my pocket, and I went in and was about ready to pick it up, and the guys whose room it was, of all things, he was a white man. And I could smell alcohol on his breath, and before I even realized what had happened, he had a pistol stuck at my head, and I was scared to death. I knew I was going to die, and I was actually crying and begging the guy for life of me. I'm not sure why he let me go, but he threatened me and told me don't ever come back, and of course it gave me his money and left. But it was a two-week period of my life that I was away from home, 15 years of age, ended up in St. Louis, and that whole two-week period, there were several times when I could have died, and yet there were a couple times when I knew God was looking out for me in the stockyards of East St. Louis. One of my dad's deacons saw me, and instead of going back and gossiping and telling people in the church about the pastor's son, he went straight to my parents, told them that he saw me, so they knew where I was at, and they got down the living room floor and prayed for their prodigal son, and then I went, of course, got moved over to St. Louis, stayed in the YMCA for a couple nights. Then I got in another hotel where I was actually working the elevator for 50 cents an hour and running people up and down on this elevator in this, I think it was like a six-story hotel. I got a job at Famous and Bar, which was one of the better-known department stores in St. Louis in that day. And I was washing dishes for $1 an hour. Here I am. You know, I'm thinking I'm a big shot. I'm doing great with my life. I'm 15 years old. I'm making $1 an hour washing dishes. And I'd actually lied to the employment people to get the job. I told them my aunt and uncle I was living with was mistreating me and that they were alcoholics. And, well, that was the furthest thing from the truth. They're two of the godliest people, the sweetest people on the face of the earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally recognized Vietnam War veteran and American hero, evangelist and speaker, Tim Lee, founder of Tim Lee Ministries and author of his just released Born on the 5th of July, Recreated in Vietnam. You can learn more about Tim Lee's work, ministry, and mission by visiting timlee.org and get his book, Invite Him to Speak, and Be an Extension of Hope Through the Life of One Who Has Done Just That. Tim Lee, sir, it has been an absolute joy bringing your voice to testimony where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. When the enemy tried to take you out at an early age, you determined to take him down by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and powerfully so. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
I thank you so much for having me, Jensine. It's an honor, and I'm excited about this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. He's a modern-day prodigal turned preacher and now evangelist whose life experiences take away every excuse yet give every hope. Last week, you heard just some of his miraculous story, his faith, and what would lead him in that next step in a Vietnam minefield that would be his last, both legs ripped from his being after stepping on a 60-pound bomb designed to levy a tank, not a Marine. No one expected him to live, but God. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North penned the foreword to his long-awaited memoir, and former FBI undercover agent and award-winning author Bob Hamer pens the details of a tragedy turned to triumph by arguably one of today's greatest patriots and overcomers. A life without legs, yes, but not without hope, as chronicled in his just released Born on the 5th of July. And indeed he was. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, a high honor indeed, evangelist, speaker, author, and founder of Tim Lee Ministries, American hero, Tim Lee. Tim, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you so much, Jensine. It's an honor to be back with you, and so excited. I've read a lot about you and what you're doing, and so this is really an honor for me.
Well, it is an honor for me, sir. So let's get right to it. Question: why Born on the 5th of July? Why you named your book that? And then take us to that day on March 8th, 1971. Tim Lee, tell us your story.
Well, last week I was telling about my rebellion and being away from God, God was trying to get my attention and speak to me, and I ended up graduating high school, ended up going to college of the day, working nights, but my life's still a mess. It's a total disaster. Ended up getting kicked out of school, ended up getting fired from my job. So walking down the street in my hometown, I saw a sign that said the Marines are looking for a few good men, and I was really so full of myself, egotistical, still thinking I was it, went and told the recruiter that I'd found what they were looking for. I tell teenagers all the time that I was tired of living at home. I wanted a change. I wanted something different. I was tired of being told what time to go to bed and what time to get out of bed, how to get my hair cut, what I could do and could not do. So I joined the United States Marine Corps, which was not the most intelligent thing that I'd ever done. So I ended up in Vietnam leading my men on a minesweep. March the 8th, 1971, I was combat engineer. I've walked numbers and numbers of minesweeps over the 9 months that I had been there. Had a lot of new men with us that day, so I decided to walk point to show my new men how it was and to let them learn the ropes. And I remembered how it was when I first got to Vietnam and some of the older guys teaching me and showing me the ropes. And so we walked that morning without any problem, found a couple of rounds. We detonated them and stopped at noon hour to eat. And while I was eating, my best friend, while I was in Vietnam, Corporal Lee Gore, asked me if I wanted him to take over his point. He could have very easily have done it, but I told him that I would finish out the day, and then on tomorrow, he could show the new men how to do it. And we picked up where we left off from, and Jensine, 45 minutes later, I stepped on that 60-pound mine and threw me several feet in the air, ripped my legs off my body. I should have been killed instantly, but like you said, God had a plan for my life, and I wanted to live. Someone said, you've never lived till you almost died. I wanted to live so bad, and there with my head in the lap of my best friend, Lee Gore, all the confusion, chaos, noise, and smoke, we had entered a major minefield, and a South Korean Marine serving with us stepped on a mine, lost one of his legs, our bulldozer driver. Set his blade down on a mine. With all that happening, and I looked up and tears running down Lee Gore's face. He was praying out loud, openly, asking God to help me. And that day I prayed, and I asked God, I begged God to let me live. They took me to hospital ship, USS Sanctuary, where Dr. Robert Bailey and another doctor, he and I were reunited years later, and he told the people that night that they did not expect me to live. High degree temperatures, so many complications, a lot of problems. And again, you know, God had a plan for my life. 2 weeks there on the ship, 2 weeks on the island of Guam, from 187 pounds to less than 80 pounds. Mom and Dad thinking they're not ever going to see me alive again. And then they brought me back to the States, to Philadelphia Naval Hospital, where I spent the next 8 months. And this is kind of where the title of my book was born, because I was born on the 5th of July, and of course the movie that Tom Cruise played the leading role, Born on the 4th of July, is about another Marine that he accidentally shot one of his own men in Vietnam, and then he himself was shot and paralyzed, and basically became very bitter and very angry, mad at God, mad at pretty much life in general. Mm-hmm. And I was in a hospital, Ward 1A in Philadelphia Naval Hospital, where at any given time, 25, 30 Marines, all of us were amputees from Vietnam, two legs like myself, one leg and an arm. But if you were on Ward 1A, you were an amputee and you were a Marine. So I saw a lot of bitterness and anger and guys mad at God and mad at their government. And Jensine, it sounds so simplistic, but I sat up in bed one day and I made a decision, a conscious decision, that I did not want to become bitter and angry. I didn't know what life held for me and what was going to happen in the future, but I knew that I didn't want to be angry and bitter the rest of my life. And it sounds so simple, but that's the way it happened. And I spent 8 long months in that hospital, operation after operation, surgery after surgery. Had a couple of young doctors that were inexperienced, and their solution to about everything was to cut. And about the time I would get healed up, they were cutting more, and my right leg was actually below the knee when I came back from Vietnam. And today I have right at 3 inches left on my right leg, but these young doctors kept cutting and cutting and cutting. And finally, one day, they told me they were going to do a hip disarticulation, which I didn't understand. They had me drugged up, and one of the nurses, the best nurse that I had the whole time I was in that hospital, after I woken and was fully conscious, she told me she had tears in her eyes, and I'd never seen her cry before. She said, "Tim, do you know what they're going to do on Monday?" And I said, "Well, I just assumed it was another operation." She said, "No." She said, "Tim, they're going to take your entire right hip off." And remember, this is 47 years ago. Things are a lot different today than then. But she basically told me I wouldn't be able to sit up. I'd have to lay on my stomach or my back for the rest of my life. And, you know, Jensine, my family would tell you, my mom would tell you, my kids would tell you, and my best friends would tell you that I've never been bitter. I've never been angry. But at that moment, when she said that, I went to the bottom of the barrel. I was as low as I had ever been in my life. And I remember calling my mom and dad, and I was, you know, a 20-year-old Marine, and I was crying. And I just told my dad, "Dad, I believe I'd rather die than to lay on my stomach or my back for the rest of my life." Somehow my dad got the surgery canceled on Monday. If you didn't have surgery, you went to what we Marines call stump rounds. There was a new doctor there that they set in between the two young doctors. And he looked over my chart, and finally he said out loud to me, he said, "Do you know who I am?" I didn't know who he was, and I wasn't in a mood to play name games and with all the seriousness of what was going on in my life. He said, "Well, my name's Dr. Robert Bailey." And, of course, that was the first doctor that did the surgery on me on the hospital ship, USS Sanctuary. He saw what these young doctors had done to me, became infuriated and angry, and so he decided to take over my case and took me to surgery one time. Never took anything, never removed anything, just cleaned up the wound, put me on a brand new antibiotic, and 2 weeks later I was being prepared to be dismissed from the hospital, and which I haven't been back to a hospital or a doctor for anything directly related to what happened to me on March the 8th, 1971. In South Vietnam. It was God. It was the hand of God. God, as sure as my name is Tim Lee, God sent Dr. Bailey, you know, to that hospital. And so I'm grateful God let me live. And then God gave me a wonderful family, a wife of 46 years, Connie, and 3 children, 6 awesome grandchildren, and a ministry. I would have never dreamed that it could have been like this, but God knew.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to war hero and evangelist Tim Lee. His book, Born on the 5th of July. In our remaining time here today, Reverend Lee, would you pray for those listening that may be bitter that may be lost and need hope.
I sure will. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be with Jensine and her listeners today. And Lord, I don't know who all's tuned in and what the needs are, but perhaps there is someone that has gotten angry, bitter because of something that's happened in their life, or someone turning their back on them. But Lord, you've never turned your back on us, and you love us so much. You gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins so that we could have a personal relationship with you. And Lord, if there are those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, this would be the day they would call upon the name of Jesus for salvation. And Lord, for those that have allowed things to come in their life, maybe they're rebellious, they've gotten away from you, Lord, bring them home to you today. I pray, God, you'll work in hearts and lives and do only what you can do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally recognized Vietnam War veteran and American hero, evangelist and speaker, Tim Lee, founder of Tim Lee Ministries and author of his just-released memoir, Born on the 5th of July. You can learn more about Tim Lee's work, ministry, and mission by visiting timlee.org and get his book, Invite Him to Speak, and be a part of extending hope through the life of one who has lived it, and powerfully so. Tim Lee, sir, it has been an absolute honor once again to have you share just a little of your miraculous story, inspiring, hopeful, your long-awaited memoir, Born on the 5th of July, and unlike, as you shared earlier, Tom Cruise's character in the Oscar-winning true story, Born on the 4th of July, you chose to live your life forgiving, loving, persevering against all odds, achieving, believing, and knowing that with God, all things are possible, and beautifully so. For country, in life, in ministry, and more, you've lived it. You know truly, Isaiah 54:17 comes to mind, and that is this: no weapon formed against you will prosper or prevail. Indeed, we thank you. We are grateful. God bless you.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy, and I love it. Thank you. God bless you, Jim.
Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.